Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the seventh day of July 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Don Day is out of the office, so we'll hear from Drew Lerner about the weather forecast for the Midwest, the planet, and all the growing regions across our area. And then we'll also take a look at what happened in yesterday's Crop Progress Report, discuss the agricultural energy markets too. Harry Cooney from GrowMark will join us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Our apologies. We experienced a technical problem recording the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoon. Here we have inserted the Opening Market Report comments from Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line to take a look at these numbers and talk a little bit about the agricultural trade for the day, condition of the crop, and what we can expect from the world agricultural supply and demand estimates on Friday is Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good morning to you, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Well, morning, Todd. I don't know if we can throw good in with that when we look at the board here. We're seeing down 10 in the corn and down 30 in the beans after all the good trading we've seen to have had lately. But the increase in the crop ratings yesterday in the corn seems to have really, and the steady crop ratings in the beans and the progression in Missouri as far as planting went along seems to have spooked the fund traders here that had turned around and went long last week.
Yeah, so we have red on the board in Chicago. We also at the same time have a lot of red on the board when you look to the satellites and even when you look further out. The rain expected this week in the southern part of the Corn Belt, rain next week in the northern part of the Corn Belt. Usually at this time of the year, that would all be good news. We did have a bit of drying out week last week. Where do you think we stand on crop conditions?
Well, I actually thought that we probably should have dropped the 1% in the corn and maybe at least another percent in the beans. A lot of stuff did look a little bit better with a little dry weather, but a lot of problems where there were already problems. And a lot of the crops just looked a little, what looked bad looked really bad last week. We thought maybe some of the lower rates would have come up. But, down south, they needed some rain. They got 4 inches of rain in there working on their levees, so trying to keep the river out. So, you know, a lot of problems going on, but a lot of things going that way. We did see a real turnaround this last week as far as the position of the funds. The funds went to, they were long 64,000 contracts of beans, 39,000 contracts of meal, 26,000 contracts of oil, and 70,000 contracts of corn. And I think that they more than got out. That's what took us up to the levels we went to, and it looks like they're going back running for cover to get back to even again now.
So what does this tell you about the next couple of days or the next 2 weeks for the marketplace?
Well, I think that, this deal with Greece is hanging over our heads, but the dollar, 30-day highs, you know, we got right back up to 97.45 on the dollar. That's very detrimental to any of our export sales. Gold is down $19 to $20 this morning. The silver down basically a dollar here today. The Chinese stock market, has fell off 30% in the last 40 days. All those things along with Greece, and that sort of tempers the outside markets a bunch, along with crude oil being down, August crude oil now is just at 50-70. So all those outside markets sort of saying that the world economy is slowing down, and that's taking a little oomph out of the grains today.
So we have been wondering what the impact of Greece might be. This might be one of the initial shots over the bow, I suppose. And if you know much about the global economy, you know that Europe in general, the EU, and China are very large trading partners. In fact, I believe the EU is the largest trading partner with China. So what happens in the European Union really does have an impact on the Chinese economy. And to the backside of that, we have a lot in the U.S. economy in the way of agricultural goods that move into China. So we consequently are seeing markets lower. Any other reason that beans ought to be lower for the day?
Well, I think, just basically along the way they are talking about the possibly negative crush margins in China. As we look at that, we did see quite a bit of movement by farmers last week on the run-up. that some of the processors did get their hands on some beans that they had not been able to pry out of their hands for quite a long time. We saw some hedging for the next year. We got to the place where people could actually make a little money rather than just lose less. And so we saw some movement, but the bad part is that we're way behind on our export sales for this fall in both corn and beans time.
Speaking of new crop and export sales, November beans have a pretty wide trading range for the day: 10.18.5 on the top, 9.82.5 on the bottom. We're down on the bottom end of that range, 28 cents lower. What happened there? When did we make that run to the upside?
Well, the run to the upside was about 5 o'clock this morning, and we saw a little shot up there. But we saw one probably about 11:30 last night. So, a little bit up and then on down. But a lot of mainly just liquidation people run into the door today once they decided that the $10, when the $10 mark didn't hold, why we saw a lot of selling.
So on Friday, USDA at 11 o'clock will release the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. Those numbers will update ending stocks for both this year and for next year. Any expectations at this point from you and or the trade?
Well, I think, that we're going – the one thing we're going to look at is, the USDA, they said they probably wouldn't change their yields on this one. So that's the 166.8. I think the private companies are looking more in the 165.3 to 164.5 on the corn on that as to cut back. And the beans, the USDA is expected to use a 46. But, there's a lot of them out there using as low as a 44.5. So the ending stocks could change quite a bit. I mean, for the 14-15 crop, the corn, a lot of people are looking for the government to be 1.876. A lot of the private groups are saying a 1.81. On the beans, a 330 for the June one, and 290 on the private sector. So another 40 million off there. So that way. And for the new crop stuff, we're looking at a 177 from the on the corn from the government, and a 1475 basically from the private sector that way. And the beans a 475, and the private sector going clear down to 357.
So the private sector already looking ahead to the number of acres that maybe prevent plant, I suspect, especially in Missouri. But those won't show up. I don't think.
I don't think that. That's the problem with this report. We sort of think they're there, but we don't know if the government's included, not included, and to what extent on their report.
Yeah, and they won't probably show up until we get to the August World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates after they've resurveyed Missouri and Kansas and Arkansas for soybeans. And we'll also have in August our first crop production numbers. So lots of things to look forward to, aren't there?
A lot of stuff that can come and change in this. We remember back to 93, the water damage was not assessed as far as the market was concerned until much later and harvest was taking place. So is that the same thing that's happening at this point in time, too?
I was thinking about that as well, because if you look back, you can see that those numbers didn't start to jump until we got the harvest and you really got some yields coming out of the field. And it was later in September, I think, almost into October, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was. It was much later and that way. So, we're hearing that, a lot of the agronomists are saying some of this corn could be hurt worse than what the government's wanting to say with these numbers. Are they right or wrong? Have our hybrids increased that much? But it does look to me like there's been some real knocking off the top of these yields, enough to maybe lower trend line yield more than just that one bushel a lot of them are talking about.
Again, as a reminder, those comments came from Tuesday morning. We had a technical difficulty recording the closing comments from Wayne Nelson. Let's check now the crop progress report as it was released by the United States Department of Agriculture's NAS yesterday afternoon. The National Agricultural Statistics Service shows that as of July the 5th, 12% of the corn crop around the nation has silked. The rolling five-year average is 18%. 55% of the corn crop is in good condition, 14% in excellent. Last week, those numbers were 54 and 14, respectively. And last year, they were 54 and 21, respectively. respectively. 96% of the crop has been planted. The rolling five-year average is 100%. There are a couple of laggards. They include Kansas and Missouri. We'll hear from the statistician in Missouri in just a moment. 93% of the soybean crop has emerged, by the way. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 97%. 21% of it has bloomed. The rolling five-year average is 21%. 52% of the crop in good condition, 11% excellent, the same as the previous week. 57 and 15 were those numbers in the previous year. Now here are the state statisticians, starting with Missouri.
This is Bob Greeno with the USDA's Missouri Crop Progress Report for the week ending July 5th. Rainfall was recorded across all of Missouri this past week. The northern third of the state generally received less than an inch, while the southern central region received over 4 inches. Soybean planting progressed by 11 percentage points to 73% complete, 24 points behind average. Temperatures were normal in the southwest corner of the state to several degrees below normal in the rest of the state. Looking at the crops individually, 28% of corn had silked, 14 points behind the five-year average for this time of year. Corn condition improved slightly and was rated 5% very poor, 11% poor, 33% fair, 44% good, and 7% excellent. Soybean planting was 73% complete, up 11 points from the previous week, but 24 points behind average. 60% of soybeans were emerged compared to the average of 93%. 5% of soybeans were blooming, 5 points behind average. Soybean condition was rated 3% very poor, 15% poor, 49% fair, 31% good, and 2% excellent. Sorghum was 72% planted, 26 points behind average. 5% of sorghum was headed. Sorghum condition was rated 2% very poor, 8% poor, 51% fair, 35% good, and 4% excellent. Winter wheat was 68% harvested compared to an average of 88%. This is Bob Greeno with the National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report. Warm and sunny weather helped dry out soil conditions and aided crop development during the week. This was only the second week this season that all districts had at least 4 days suitable for field work. Activities for the week included cutting hay, applying herbicides, and scattered replanting of crops. Iowa enjoyed its driest week in 9 weeks with a statewide average precipitation of 0.3 inches, while normal for the week is 1.09 inches. Rain total has varied from none over parts of central and north central Iowa to 2.17 inches at Davenport. Temperatures were below normal until Sunday afternoon. Morning lows dipped to 44 degrees at Cresco and Alcater on Tuesday and at Spencer on Wednesday. Sunday was the warmest day with readings reaching 90 degrees at Little Sioux, Sioux City, and Lamoni. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged from 3 degrees below normal across the southwest to 6 degrees below normal over the northeast, with a statewide average of 4.9 degrees below normal. 82% of the corn crop was rated good to excellent. Nearly all soybeans have emerged. Soybeans blooming reached 20%. Soybean condition rated 78% good to excellent this week. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Both temperatures and precipitation were below normal last week in Illinois. Topsoil moisture supplies declined slightly but are still quite plentiful. Wheat harvest moved forward by 31 points to 69% complete, compared to 78% 1 year ago and 80% for the five-year average. Soybean planting moved up 1 point to 94% complete. 92% of acres have emerged and 15% of acres are blooming. 1 year ago, 26% of soybean acres were blooming, and 20% is the five-year average. The condition of the soybean crop is almost unchanged from last week, at 16% very poor to poor, 32% fair, and 52% good to excellent. 26% of corn acres are now silking. That compares to 25% 1 year ago and 31% for the five-year average. Conditions are nearly unchanged from last week at 12% very poor to poor, 27% fair, and 61% good to excellent. In other crops, sorghum is now 88% planted and 8% is headed. 96% of oats acreage is headed, 89% of alfalfa hay first cutting is complete, 26% of the second cutting is finished, and 85% of other hay has been cut. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota's corn condition rated 84% good to excellent. That's up 3 percentage points from last week. 33% of the soybean crop was blooming or beyond, 10 days ahead of last year and 1 week ahead of the 5-year average. Soybean condition rated 78% good to excellent. Small grain development remained well ahead of average with 90% or more of the crop in or beyond the heading stage. Barley condition rated 64% good to excellent. 18% of the oat acreage was turning color or beyond, that's slightly ahead of normal. Oat condition rated 83% good to excellent. 14% of the spring wheat acreage was turning color, that's 11 days ahead of the previous year. And spring wheat condition rated 82% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Klatt with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. A break in the rainy weather along with mild temperatures reduced some of the ponding and the number of oversaturated fields, allowing many farmers to finally apply nitrogen to corn and soybeans. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 5.10 inches, with a statewide average of 1.02 inches. Winter wheat mature was 90% complete, compared to 76% last year. Winter wheat was 39% harvested this week, compared to 49% last year, and 60% 5-year average. Soybeans blooming was 15% complete, compared to 28% last year, and 21% 5-year average. Corn silking was 8% complete, compared to 12% last year, and 19% 5-year average. Several winter wheat fields are still too wet to be harvested, leading to prolonged delays in double-crop soybean plantings. Growers tried various methods to restore nitrogen to cornfields, and the best methods were difficult to determine given the unusual circumstances and variability in the progress of the crop. Losses from the saturated fields were greater in late-planted corn. Many early planted corn fields survived the flooding, although concerns of disease and nitrogen loss remain high. The amount of prevented plantings on soybeans remains in question as many growers seized the opportunity to get late beans in. Low-lying fields remain saturated with yellowed and pale crops as drainage systems remained overwhelmed. Weed pressure continued to increase. Other activities for the week included applying fertilizer and herbicides, hauling grain, certifying acres, and mowing roadsides. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 5th, 2015. This is Jessica Klatt reporting.
Now, thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Now let's turn our attention to the energy markets. Harry Cooney is here. He's in Bloomington, Illinois, belongs with GrowMark, and we'll take up what's been happening with things like ethanol and the outside markets, maybe crude oil and its price. It dropped, plummeted pretty good here recently, Harry. What do you think about this?
Well, good afternoon, Todd. You're exactly right. We had a big drop in crude oil yesterday of about 8% in one day. That's about as large of a percent as you tend to see. Crude oil was sharply lower, but today it started to bounce back a little bit. In fact, about 25 cents higher in crude oil today, around $53. Gasoline's actually come around quite well after double-digit losses yesterday. We're back up 3 to 4 cents here today, and a lot of the selling has been on jitters around the world. You had the Iranian story of whether they're going to get an armed or the deal for over there, and then also you have the Greece vote over the weekend, and so that thing, both those stories pretty much kept the markets on edge here as we get into the new trading week. The big weakness yesterday, like I say, followed by a little bit of a rebound here today. My guess is this may not be the bottom yet. This may just be a trading bounce here today.
What's summer gasoline demand been like?
Well, summer gasoline demand is very good. In fact, we could hit some records this year. There's the potential here in the next couple of months when gasoline demand peaks out each week to hit 10 million barrels a day in gasoline demand, something that's never been done before. So the low pump prices, the fairly strong economy, low unemployment, is allowing people to get out, and Billy Bob and little Sarah are going out on vacation with mommy and daddy, mm-hmm. and so they're having a lot of demand for gasoline out there.
Hey, thanks much for updating us. We do appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium on this Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's Macaroni Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1568, William Turner died, an English naturalist and botanist. Turner is known as the father of English botany. In 1752, Joseph Marie Jacquard was born, a French silk weaver. He is the inventor of the Jacquard programmable power loom. The machine was controlled by perforated control cards and was the basis for the modern automatic loom. In 1862, the first Land Grant Act was passed. Public lands were sold for agricultural education. This was the start of many state universities throughout the United States, including right here at the University of Illinois. In 1928, Otto Friedrich Rottweiler perfected the bread slicing machine that he began work on in 1912. The first piece of sliced bread was produced and sold at M.F. Bench's Chillicothe Baking Company on Elm Street in Chillicothe, Missouri. And in 1936, Henry F. Phillips patented the Phillips head screw and screwdriver. By the way, General Motors was convinced to use the screws on its 1936 Cadillac. And by 1940, virtually every American automaker had switched to Phillips screws. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report. Drew Lerner now joins us from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City with an update of the growing region's weather forecast. Drew?
Favorable weather conditions will prevail across a big part of the U.S. Midwest over the next week to 10 days. The precipitation will be greatest over these next 2 days, coming out of Oklahoma and southeastern Kansas through the heart of Missouri into the heart of Illinois and portions of Indiana, with 1 to 3 inch amounts likely across this region, some local totals again getting up over 4 inches. The rainfall might be a little bit less intensive further to the east, with the totals upwards to 1.5 inches, maybe 2 inches in a few locations. To the northwest and to the west central parts of the Corn Belt, it's relatively dry. We're not expecting a lot of precipitation to occur in those areas for the next couple of days. But remember, most of this rain I just described is today and tomorrow. On Thursday, we'll start seeing some drier weather. In fact, on Thursday, there'll be a ridge of high pressure beginning to build up from southeast to northwest across the country. The ridge will be focused on the southeastern states, the Delta, and the lower Midwest initially Thursday and Friday, and then over the weekend, it'll start to shift to the west, impacting a big part of the plains and the western Corn Belt eventually. The ridge is expected to take up home position over the high plains region as we move into the early part of next week, and it will likely stay out there through the duration of the balance of the 2-week forecast period. We'll expect to see this ridge to be relatively weak, but it will be significant enough to suppress rainfall in parts of the plains and a few areas in the western Corn Belt periodically, and also allow for warmer temperatures to prevail. The majority majority of the Midwest will get away from these heavier rain events like the one that's occurring now and continuing into tomorrow. There will be a distribution of shower and thunderstorms across the Midwest, however, on a routine basis across the Midwest as we go out through the balance of the two-week forecast period. The precipitation is expected to move around and not persist in any particular area, so there will be some locally heavy rains periodically, but we're not expecting it to fester into a big generalized problem with flooding or excessive moisture in any particular location. That doesn't mean we won't have some localized problems periodically, but I think getting away from the heavier rains of today and tomorrow will be a very definite end result of the forecast coming up. And the warmer temperatures will accelerate drying rates across the region, but today and tomorrow will be incredibly cool across the Midwest, with most temperatures in the highs only running in the 70s with a few 60-degree readings in some of the heavier rainfall areas. There will be some 80-degree temperatures to the east of the heavier rain in Ohio and Kentucky today, and we'll look for that area to cool down tomorrow. The temperatures will turn around and get into the 80s and 90s as we move through the weekend, and probably next week some areas in the plains could get up over 100 degrees, but that should stay outside of the corn and soybean production areas. We'll expect to see a generally favorable environment for crop development to occur not only in the Midwest, but the Delta and southeastern states and most of the plains as we move out through the middle of the month and into the latter part of this month, supporting pollination for corn and aggressive crop development in other areas. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our thanks to Drew Lerner for his update of the weather forecast. You can hear him again on our website at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. You have a great afternoon.